Wings with a win last night, beat the best team in the East. Are we the best team in the East now? Car flags, 1 to 5 on the scale, your level of buy-in. We're past the halfway point. Teams played as well as you could have hoped. And the vibes are high, right? It's Sergei Fedorov night last night. They win the game. You got Karen Newman back. You got Hockey Town at center ice. You got 91 in the rafters. People are feeling good. 248-539-9797. It's the perfect time for us to check in on the level of buy-in from you guys out there in listener land.
And before you give yours, I already gave mine at 4. I do want to make sure, because I'm sure you'll point this out as well. The Red Wings have played more games than anyone else in the Eastern Conference, other than the New York Rangers, but right now they're not much of a factor.
Correct.
So 3 more games than the Tampa Bay Lightning, 2nd in the Atlantic. 1 more game than the Montreal Canadiens. They obviously just beat the Carolina Hurricanes, but 1 more game than them, 2 more than the Islanders, 3 more than the Flyers. So I understand, hey, they've got this buffer, but just by default, by games being played, that buffer can be minimized.
Yeah. And I don't want to get caught up in minutiae. Game here, game there. The Red Wings are playing significantly better than I think we could have hoped right now. And I want to highlight a couple things that feel noteworthy right now. Gibson is the best goalie in hockey since December 1st. Whether he's the best goalie in hockey, no, he's probably not. But they have a legit number one, okay? And that makes a difference. When you have a legit top pairing, we talk about how this team needed to get better on defense. Seider playing with Edvinson is a legit shutdown pair for damn near half the night. Andrew Kopp has become that number two center we've been waiting for. He's 19 points in his last 20 games. That's a legit number two C. DeBrincat and Raymond are point-per-game guys. Your star is leading the way, Larkin just behind him. Mm-hmm. They have a penalty kill unit that's not league worst. It's league average. This stuff matters. It adds up. James Van Riemsdyk scored a goal last night. He has more this year than Tarasenko had all last year. So I can't ask for much more to this point. But we are only at this point. I'm a 3 out of 5. Past 50-50. But there's 2 things missing. 1, MARCH, and 2, the trade deadline. Ace those. I'm a 5 out of 5. We're flying the flags. We're going to the postseason. That place, which we've gotten tastes of, last night was a taste of it. That place is going to be electric. And I've already talked about this. I'm making plans. My plan is only going to have half the home playoff games. If I don't have the first home playoff game, I'm going to go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spend my own money additionally to be there the first playoff game that Little Caesars Arena hosts for hockey. This is like, I'm trying to be guard against the like childhood exuberance that like bubbles to the surface at this time every year with this team. They have to show me they're going one step further than they did the last couple years. I'm a 3 out of 5.
So you're just a little bit more guarded.
Yeah.
In regards to you don't want to be all in. And I don't mean all in by going with a 5. And this is an interpretive exercise, right?
Yeah.
It's 1 out of 5 car flags. And just because you say 5 doesn't mean you think they're going to the Stanley
Cup. No,
it's just, you are bought in 100% on this team, whatever bought in means to you.
Yeah, and I think a couple things. Gibson's played so well. Where is the water when it finds its level? On the season, the Wings save percentage is still lower than 2 years ago when they missed on the final day. So we're not out of the woods yet, is all I would say. Things are looking up. Gibson, if he's more of this guy than the guy who was chased night one, if the defense in front of him is more like they've been, blocking shots as opposed to odd man rushes, yeah, that save percentage is going to keep ticking up. They're going to keep winning a couple games against good teams, Montreal and Carolina, and they're going to be in the postseason, but we got to see it play through. I feel like I'm you a little bit here with the let it play out crowd, but I still want to give them the appropriate respect. If this isn't a 1, this isn't a 2, I'm not trying to be a stick in the mud. 3 car flags out of 5.
But I think it's a very honest response, and it can be similar to the Lions at the end of the 22 season. Hey, they finished 9-8. They beat Green Bay on the road. You know, they sent Aaron Rodgers packing, and you have 60 years of heartbreak and hopes and dreams that are only crushed going into that 23 season, trying to figure out, is this team for real?
Right.
And it's a much shorter time period. It's a decade, 9 years for the Detroit Red Wings, but it's coming off of one of the greatest runs that the NHL has ever seen for the Detroit Red Wings. Multiple Stanley Cups. I mean, a decade's worth of being in the postseason, and then heartbreak. And so I understand why you're only at a three.
Yeah. And I know Tom's probably going to shake his finger because he said we got to stop holding last year and the year before against this hockey team.
But you can't. That's part of being a fan. And I know, you know, we're supposed to be a little bit more analytical than just fans, but fandom is a part of what we do.
Well, I'll just reverse this. Then it's same old Wings. You know, that's what you guys are. I'm always believing enjoying the ride. And I believe this team has matured in a number of ways. I think leadership has. I think some of Larkin's comments last season, after the season, were a little bit of a sign of leadership. And they've responded to McClellan's message. They have better goaltending. They have a defensive pair that they can rely on that wasn't – they weren't there last year. Mm-hmm. And to me, that Sider and Edvinson are kind of stirring this thing a little bit. And it's why would that change? What, they're going to regress? Oh, they're going to run out of gas? They're going to – seriously?
Well, a couple things. We have an Olympic break. We have a trade deadline. And we have a month of March that's been so horrible for this hockey team. Even when they've been 9-10 points in the playoffs this time of year. It wasn't that long ago. 2 years ago, they had a 9-10 point cushion to be in the playoffs. Well, if they can just play point per game hockey, they're going to be in, right?
That would be 102 points.
But I'm saying we've had these conversations before. And I just want to reject –
but they're not a different team?
But I want to reject –
you don't think – are they better?
Tom, I don't know yet. I mean, that's the whole point.
47 games doesn't tell you? Why wouldn't you buy into this if it was a different team? If this was the Pistons last year, you'd buy in, but you're holding the previous seasons against them. They're not that team. They're a better team.
I want to reject the idea that I'm not enjoying the ride.
I'm enjoying this because I'm out of the conversation. I'm enjoying the ride. I'm with Tom.
Okay. But the idea that you're not enjoying the ride unless your car flags are at attention. I'm going to the games and enjoying the hell out of these wins. They're all fun. What?
You've been having some blue chew lately?
Oh, God. 248-539-9797.
Let me be clear. I'm a four, and I'm buying because I believe they've improved, period. I don't know why the young players have gotten better. Why would that change? It's like, okay, you had the first year of St. Brown with the Lions, and then he grew. You're seeing Sider has taken the step. I've been critical of him in the past.
Yep.
Why don't I trust it? Why would he go backwards? A lot of these guys are at that age where you really start – you know, you're getting into your 23, 24, 25-year-olds where you really start to mature as hockey players. That's what I'm believing. I don't know why it would change.
Okay, so he's going to make me the bad guy.
No. Let me help defend you because I'll defend both of you guys. And Tom, I'm with you because of the reason I said Todd McClellan. I'm with you, Jim, because we've seen players play at a playoff level
for a stretch until
they get to the month of March, and then all of a sudden everything falls apart. So I understand why, and I'm not going to criticize you for being a three versus a four. I do think you're enjoying it, and you've already talked about it. I think one of the things you're most excited about is I want to be there, and I think they will be there for that first playoff game this year.
Yeah, I hate the position this puts me in because, like, well, why would it?
Well,
why
you
would
did it to yourself. No, I won't defend you on that.
I know I do this to myself, but when Tom says, well, why wouldn't they? Well, if you're going to ask me the question, I'm going to answer it, but then it's going to come across as negative. Okay, McClellan was the coach last March, yes?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
But his influence is not the same as it is throughout the entire offseason, the entire training camp, and moments throughout the beginning of the regular season where there are skids. You open up the season with a loss, and it was awful. He addressed it publicly.
Was 40 gold pace DeBrinket on this team last year?
Yeah, he was, and then he faded a little bit.
For 40 goals last
year?
Yes,
he was.
Okay. Was this Sider on this team last year?
So the thing I'm going to point out, too, is a guy like Marco Kasper is in a horrendous sophomore slump. They're not getting a lot of production from either winger on the top line right now, Finney the other one, okay? How long is, like, Pelika, I think, has done a really underrated job on that second pair with Sherratt. They had a couple plays in front of their own net where they didn't screw things up. My question is, does he hit a wall at some point? Like, James Van Riemsdyk is 36 years old. Is Andrew Kopp really a point-per-game center for an 80-game season, the way he's been for a stretch now since December 1st? Like, what if they take a half step back in some of these areas? And they take an Olympic break, and they don't add at the deadline. Like, I think these are all valid questions to be asking while enjoying the ride.
So let's paint the calendar backwards. The deadline's March 6th. That's a Friday. They play the Panthers at night. So they have 15 games before the deadline. I know it sounds crazy. Well, you have the break. Mm-hmm. So they got 11 games before the Olympic break. If they're pacing like they are right now, or even slightly less, because they've been on a pretty good points pace here lately, if Steve Yzerman doesn't buy, it's criminal. And I know we've had these techs come in. I don't trust them buying. If they're playing this way at the Olympic break, he has to unearth every stone to try to make this team better. And if he doesn't, it's criminal because they've earned for him to buy now.
I agree. And so if they buy, and we don't know who that is. We haven't talked about possible, you know, players that are coming to Detroit. Yeah. But if they do, that is more of a how far can they go in the playoffs. If they don't buy, and I think we'd all be upset about that, mm-hmm. but if they don't, as constructed, do you think they're a playoff team?
Right. By the way, DeBrincat had 39 goals last season. So, yeah, they had a guy pacing for 40 and still missed. It's possible. Adam in Gibraltar has been waiting. Adam, you're a big hockey guy. Glad to hear your voice today. How you feeling? You're on 97.1.
I'm actually going to go on the boat with Costa here, 3 out of 5, for 3 reasons, actually. One, trade deadline, like you said. 2, MARCH, like you said. But 3, this team, when they go up against, you know, above average, almost playoff opponents, they can't finish in the regulation. Just like you see Carolina, they're smothering. That's a team they aspire to be. I don't think this team can contend for a Stanley Cup. I mean, you never know. Mm-hmm. But I think they could probably win a playoff series, depending on what moves they make at the trade deadline. But, I mean, right now, I have like a 3 out of 5 faith in this team. They're good hockey team. I just, when you're talking about playoffs, you're talking about competing and competing for the Stanley Cup. They can compete probably a couple, maybe a round or two. But, I mean, depending on what they do at the trade deadline, I don't have faith in the team making a deep run in the playoffs. I don't think they're that deep.
Okay. Adam, appreciate the phone call. You've kicked off a good conversation. We got text to read. We got some spots on the phones. 248-539-9797.
I just want to say something to what he said there, though. You're 3 out of 5, and then you're talking about winning playoff rounds. Isn't this all about making the playoffs for this team? Isn't that where we're at? That's what we were all about this season.
That's the next logical step.
If they make the playoffs, it's a successful season.
Yes.
Now, that might change if this thing keeps going as the one seed.
I want to be fair about this. Yeah, I don't think we're going to say you got to suddenly win the Stanley Cup or year 7 of the Yzer plan is a failure. We want to see tangible progress, and the most tangible progress would be Little Caesars Arena, playoff hockey, 7-game series. Get these guys a young hockey team a taste. Think about what the Pistons just did. You know, everybody wants to do comparisons. The Pistons made the playoffs last year. They won a couple playoff games. No, they didn't win a playoff series, but don't we think they're better for it right now? Aren't we shaping up to now talk about winning and stacking playoff series wins for the Pistons? Yeah, get in the dance, especially in hockey, and get these young guys an opportunity to play in those environments. It's 97.1. All right, got some text coming in on the car flag scale, 1 to 5. 5 car flags means you are at attention. Wings are the best team in the East right now with the most points. 1 to 5. 5 car flags from an unnamed texter already making playoff hockey plans.
All right.
I think everybody's feeling good when Yzerman's out there and Fedorov's out there and they're honoring Fedorov last night. 5 flags for the Wings and throw in a bonus flag for Karen Newman. That was a pleasant surprise last night.
It was.
What else we got? Guys, they're making the playoffs this year. That's Giancarlo and Macomb. Guys, I'm putting a car flag on every window and mirror.
Oh.
That's 8 car flags. Well, no. Let me do proper math. That would be 6 car flags.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting a little carried away.
Unless you got a sunroof and you put one on the rear view.
There you go. Biggest difference between the last few years, we have an actual goalie now. Yeah, look, as bad as that third period was yesterday, where they were reeling,
mm-hmm.
Gibson, he kept them in it, and he's won them some big hockey games the last month or so.
He's hot, and he's the one that I'm most concerned about with the Olympic break. Yeah. How does that cool him off? How does he come back? How does he play after that break? I think the rest of the guys, yeah, there's a concern, but I think for the goalie, a hot goalie, what does that break mean?
2 flags, wait until March, and another that says 3 flags. Still been burned the last 2 marches, and Stevie needs to make a move before I add the other 2 flags.
Okay.
All right. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, a Detroit man wanted in connection with a double murder in Tennessee was taken into custody over the weekend after he allegedly tried to steal something from a Walmart in Sterling Heights.
Did you see the body cam footage?
I saw parts of it.
Yeah.
Yes. So on Saturday afternoon, officers were called to this Walmart on 14 and Van Dyke. And as they were talking to the suspect, he took off running and he ran into Warren and he started running into wooded areas and he was like disrobing. He was trying to like hide his identity. Like if I take a layer of clothes off, they won't recognize this.
Is,
right, exactly. Anyway, he was eventually taken into custody, but not before he got into a physical altercation with the officers.
Did you see the change of his appearance from the wanted picture to what he looked like now? Like, so he had longer hair.
Mm-hmm.
Completely shaved it bald.
Yeah.
And I mean, he did look like a completely different dude.
Yet you're going to go and try to steal something from a store and not get caught, right? Like, come on, man.
Well, what do we say? Criminals are
stupid. Yes. Jimmy John's Field in Utica is getting a big rebrand. So the ballpark, which is home to a small pro baseball league of four teams, has officially been renamed UWM Field. So on Tuesday, United Wholesale Mortgage announced that it has signed a 10-year naming rights deal with the park. And in addition, the baseball league's name, previously known as USPBL powered by UWM, is now USPBL powered by Mortgage Matchup. So,
okay,
something to get used to.
Yeah, it's I struggle with name changes.
I know you do. That's why I looked at you.
Chargers are still in San Diego.
Tiger
Raiders
Stadium.
Are still in Oakland.
Yeah.
Tiger Stadium is still Tiger Stadium. And now that I'm used to saying Comerica Park, at least somewhat used to it, that's going to change too.
I know. Hey, this is cool. It pays to go to school in Detroit. So for the second year in a row, Detroit Public Schools is offering up to $1,000 in cash payments for students with perfect attendance. So this Perfect Attendance Pays initiative started on January 5th at all Detroit Public School high schools, and all students are eligible. They have the opportunity to earn $100 gift cards for every full week of perfect attendance, up to $1,000. The program ends on March 20th. And the district said that this program is intended to encourage consistent attendance during the winter months, which is when they really see attendance decline. Mm. So just like a little incentive, right? You go to school every day of the week, get $100.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. The article didn't say how much money they gave away last year, but I would have liked to have seen that, like how many kids were able to get there every single day for this bonus. Because $100 is, as a high schooler,
I
take it
deal.
Now.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, show up every day. Yeah,
give me $100.
Well, and I know there's people going, that's the bare minimum. You should show up every day. It's not like there are people and children in some tough situations. And if you can incentivize attendance, we want our kids in school.
This says Detroit Public Schools has been hit hard by chronic absenteeism with 60.9% absenteeism in the 2024-25 school year.
Yeah.
And obviously, the more you attend consistently, the more likely you are to succeed in the future. So they want kids there at a consistent basis. Three local puppies are representing Michigan in the Puppy Bowl. So Puppy Bowl 22 will feature 150 rescue puppies from 72 shelters across the U.S., Puerto Rico, and the British Virgin Islands, including Dan from Kalamazoo.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Dan the dog?
Dan the dog.
That's an interesting dog name.
Well, you don't like people, names?
Not really.
Oh,
really?
I like the human name for dogs. Like, I think that's it's kind of funny. Mia Muffin as well, and Shishi from Muskegon.
Yeah, Dan's a lot better than Shishi.
Well, you know, to each their own. So the pups will be divided into two teams, Team Fluff and Team Ruff. They'll battle out for the coveted Lombarki trophy. And of course, you can adopt one too if you'd like.
Uh-huh.
If you'd like to win $2,000 and use it to adopt a dog, give us a call now, 248-539-9797. Your chance to play the two grand slam.
Ruff always beats Fluff in the postseason, right, John?
That's right. Yeah. Hey, Ruff is always good.
Oh, no.
Next news story.
All right.
Please pull
so
that.
This went viral last fall, and it's now trending again. So TikTok says that you should start every morning by jumping 50 times. And there's nothing else to it. You just literally jump 50 times up and down in a row. And obviously there's a handful of people that says this has been like life-changing. Others say that's kind of a stretch. It's not really making any difference. But there's one woman who did it for a week, said that she feels more awake, she feels lighter on her feet, and it's just she's feeling better in general all day long. And experts actually do agree with this one. They say it could be a good tip. It gets your blood flowing, activates your muscles, and helps wake you up.
All right. Or you could go for a walk after you get dressed. You could, agree that activity first thing in the morning is good.
Jumping 50 times doesn't take up a lot of time. It's cold outside right now. Like, I don't want to go for a walk in the morning.
Yeah, but if I was to jump 50 times as soon as I get out of bed,
you'd wake the whole house.
I would wake up the entire house and I might shake Lisa out of the bed.
Be like Jurassic Park where you see the water jiggle.
Yes, yes, exactly.
All right, it's time for the two grand slam.
All right, I think we're going to do better than we did last week, at least with one of our contestants who got
one
right. Yeah. The rules of the game are simple. 60 seconds, 10 questions, $25 for each question answered correctly. And hopefully our contestant will walk away with $2,000.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
Rob and Dexter, you got this.
Hi, guys. How we doing?
We're doing good. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Ready to play.
All right, Rob. This is exciting. So you know the rules. If there's one you don't know, you can say pass. And if there is enough time, we'll get back to it. Okay, here we go, Rob. Your time is going to start right now. What jersey number did Sergei Fedorov wear as a Red Wing?
91.
Who is Indiana playing next Monday for the national championship?
Miami.
Stranger Things airs on this streaming platform.
Netflix.
Who is the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks?
Pass.
Who leads the Detroit Pistons in rebounds per game?
Jalen Duren.
Who played Wonder Woman in the 2017 movie Wonder Woman?
Gal Gadot.
Where did Drake May play in college?
UNC.
This artist had the 2013 hit Take Me to Church.
Hozier.
Who is the starting quarterback of the Miami Hurricanes?
Beck.
Who won the Heisman Trophy last month?
Mendoza.
Who is the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks?
McDonald.
Yeah!
Happy New Year! There we go. We ended the new year with one, and we're starting the new year. Not on the first time, but well done, Rob.
Thanks,
I got anxious.
No, I appreciate it.
At the end there, I was like, don't mess this up, Heather, and I hope he gets it.
When we asked you about the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks the first time, I could feel like it was on the tip of your tongue. How close were you to saying Mike McDonald the first time?
It was close. I almost did a Freudian slip and said Pete Carroll, so I'm glad I didn't go that route.
Ooh, that would have cost you.
So the one, because we look at this pre-show and I go, boy, the one that could trip somebody up would be the artist that had the 2013 hit Take Me to Church.
Yeah.
When you pulled that, I go, okay, he's in this.
Uh-huh. Well done, Rob.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Yep.
Put you on hold, get you $2,000.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Boy, he marched right through that. There was some time remaining, too.
But you always get anxious. Like, after I knew he had gotten them all right, had to go back to one, I started, was like, okay, read it quickly. Mm-hmm. Don't mess it up. And I hope he gets, you know, like, because you just don't know how much time is left.
And I actually asked this question ahead of time, that if he had gotten number one wrong, what jersey did Sergei Fedorov wear as a Red Wing? If they had gotten it wrong, I asked the rules committee if we could hang up and get another caller. Fortunately, we weren't faced with that scenario.
You were also told we couldn't.
Right. Yeah.
But I would have liked to.
Oh, I would have. I would have. I was ready to say something in the moment. I know it would have thrown whoever it was off, but like that would have been an unbelievable Detroit sports sin.
Especially after last night.
Yeah. All right, so I know he got them all right, but let's run through this real quick. 91 is obviously Sergei Fedorov's number. Miami is playing Indiana for the national championship. Netflix is where you can find Stranger Things. Mike McDonald is the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. He finally got that one. Jalen Duren leads the Detroit Pistons in rebounds per game. Gal Gadot played Wonder Woman in the 2017 version, North Carolina. He said UNC. That's where Drake May played in college. Hozier had the...
I had no idea.
2003. I didn't either.
I know, I know the song. Yeah, but I could not have pulled that.
I need to play it. I'm sure I've heard it.
You've heard it.
But I didn't know it. And Carson Beck is the quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes. And Fernando Mendoza is the Heisman Trophy winner.
Three questions about the national championship games.
Yeah. Big one coming up. Yeah, the Tuesday to Grand Slam is brought to you by Femininio Law. Get David, get paid.
All right, coming up next, we'll keep talking about car flags and buy-in and where you're at as a Red Wing fan, but we're also going to get into the festivities that happened before the game. Sergei Fedorov, first-class moment, 91 where it belongs, hanging in the rafters. What's the next Detroit jersey to be retired? It's 97-1. John, have you ever heard this song?
I have not. I don't.
It surprises me a little bit because it's not like poppy.
No, it would be more something I probably would listen to, but no, I don't think I've ever heard this one. And we tried to play it at the break. We're like, get to the chorus.
Your kids have probably heard it.
This guy heard it.
For sure he did. Thank goodness he did.
So when was this? This was 2013
was the question. Yeah. Yeah. $2,000.
But they still play it on air all the time.
Yeah.
It's popular.
Oh, they do?
Oh. Yeah, they do.
Oh, okay.
Radio stations do.
Well.
Even ours, right now.
Currently.
Yes.
There you go. One of our 10 questions for the Grand Slam. We had a winner. $2,000. All right.
Fun Mike McDonald story real quick.
Yes.
When he was defense coordinator at Michigan, it was 21, the first win against Ohio State in 17 years. It was, obviously, everybody remembers the crowd rushing the field. Mike was up in the booth and was trying to get across the field, couldn't get across the field, so he went around on the concourse and then tried to come down the stairs to get into the tunnel.
Okay.
Well, in the process, he had lost his...
Credential.
And so he tried to get to the tunnel, and they're like, no, sir, you're not allowed to go in the tunnel. Only coaches and players or, you know, team personnel. He's like, I am a coach, because he looks so young. Even now, he looks so young. He looks like a college student. And it took another coach that had a credential to come up behind him and say, oh, no, actually, he is the defensive coordinator. And they're like, I guess we'll trust you.
All right, so, then. That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, last night was Fedorov night at Little Caesars Arena, and first class. And Fedorov, the showman he is, comes out in the Corvette. They touched all the right notes. Karen Newman's doing the anthem. They got the white skates in the warm-up. Everybody's wearing 91. 91's where it belongs. Long overdue. It's hanging in the rafters. I thought his speech was great. It had some twists and turns, and he had some fun with it. He mentioned specifically about leaving Detroit, and this is what he had to say about that. And he was super interactive. He you know, was looking over towards... his wife, his kids. He said that's the only good thing that came of leaving Detroit is he met his wife, and now they have these two, as he put it, beautiful children. He's looking over at Steve Yzerman. There was a little emotional moment. He went over to Vladdy Konstantinov and shouted out the Russian Five. Vladdy was on the ice. It hit all the high notes last night. I thought it was first class.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you got to go win the hockey game.
Which they did in dramatic fashion. They could have done it a lot easier.
Up 3-0. I'm going, all right, what's going on with the Steelers-Texans? And only to see...
7-6.
not much you wanted to watch over there. I guess I'll go back to the hockey. And the Canes score the first of their three goals. And you go, boy, the way they play, they're going to bear down on you. Then you give them a gift. Larkin turnover. Odd man rush. Shorthanded goal. Raymond, little love tap. They get him for a penalty. Then Sherratt, 5-on-3. You knew they were going to score at the end of the game with two-man advantage. It was just about, were they going to be able to get the point in overtime? And they did. And it's Andrew Kopp getting away with the cross check. No harm, no foul. Red Wings win. He had a multi-goal night. People are feeling good about this hockey team. And we've been asking you the question about your level of buy-in. 1 to 5 car flags. 248-539-9797. The other thing we want to talk about. His 91 is finally up there, long overdue. Who's next? And maybe another layer is, which Detroit athletes are you confident will get their number retired?
Well, that's a much longer list.
So let's start with the short list first. Who's next?
So I think you would probably have to look at some Tigers.
Yeah, I think you would look to Verlander.
Verlander. Did they retire Miggy's when he retired? No. So Miggy
will be next.
Yeah, Miggy's probably next. Verlander, whenever he hangs it up, will probably be shortly after that.
Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I think an interesting question, like the Red Wings clearly have a high bar. You could never have put Datsyuk in before Fedorov.
Right.
You just couldn't jump the line, and there clearly was a lot at play there. But Fedorov's is up there. Pavel Datsyuk's a Hockey Hall of Famer. I'm not telling you he has to go up there, but I think it's a natural question. And if Zetterberg gets in the Hall of Fame, do they both go up there? So the case for Datsyuk, I mean, all the Selke Awards, multiple Stanley Cups, the case for Zetterberg, he had the one cup, but he won the Conn Smythe. He was the captain.
Yeah. I think Datsyuk is the next wing, and it's probably one of those where I would think, okay, this year is obviously Sergei.
Mm-hmm.
Do they, is there some unwritten rule? Will they got to, you know, have a gap here? If not, he probably goes in next year because it was simply just waiting for Sergei's number to go up.
I just know they have such a high standard. Like to be a Red Wing rafter number, it's not, oh, I was one of the all time. Like there's a different level. They've only done it 9 times in 100 years of hockey. But those would be the next two I'd look for the Red Wings would be.
Yeah, but that was a stretch right there where there's going to be a handful. Obviously, Yzerman's is.
Yeah, they waited all of like 60 days to put Yzerman's number in the Raptors. It's been a longer wait for others. What about one that's just getting weirder and weirder? Matthew Stafford. He's going to hold all the team records if he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. How many teams have a Hall of Fame?
He currently holds the team records.
I suppose, you know, Goff plays long enough, he could pass him. Yeah. But if he's one or two in all of your passing stats and he's in the Hall of Fame, isn't that a guy whose number gets retired by a franchise? It's getting weirder because if he continues to stack like playoff wins, maybe an MVP, a second Super Bowl win, he does 6 to 8 years in LA.
Yeah, accomplished much more in LA than he ever did in Detroit. And so I would think that the Rams would be the team that would retire his number.
But some guys get retired by multiple teams. Yeah. LeBron's going to have his jersey retired by 3 teams. Yeah.
The rarity is that it gets retired across the sport, but that's not going to be happening.
No. Have to go on quite a tear.
Yeah.
Imagine all that happens, but let's say Jared Goff wins a Super Bowl in Detroit while that happens.
It's even weirder. Right? It just adds like weird layers to this.
It would be weird, but I almost think it would shut the door on Stafford's getting his number retired.
So 12 years in Detroit, he'll spend the majority of his career playing for the Detroit Lions. And we're starting to see him solidify a Hall of Fame resume. John, what do you think? No?
I would say no.
Okay. I think it's a yes.
Yeah, but he didn't win anything here.
Neither did Barry.
Yeah, but
neither did Calvin.
But Barry was, you could argue Barry's the best at that position. You can't make that argument for Matthew Stafford. And I say you could argue it because people will argue it. I think he's the best running back to ever play the game.
I do too.
There's a big difference there.
248-539-9797. Who's next? And if you have thoughts on last night's Fedorov ceremony or the Wings at large, we don't want to shortchange our first place hockey team.
Right, especially if you were there. I want to hear more about what it felt like. What was your favorite moment if you were at the LCA last night?
Yeah. Look, they brought out the trophies he won, the Hart Trophy and the Stanley Cup and the Selke and Lester B. Pearson. Like they really presented this as the big deal that it is.
Mm-hmm. And as we're talking about the next jersey to be retired, we mentioned Miguel Cabrera, we mentioned Justin Verlander, Pavel Datsyuk. We've mentioned a couple other guys, but there are some guys playing right now that could be building a resume that, hey, maybe they are going to be in that next wave.
So who are guys that you feel like, and let's go to the phones because we got some good response there too, but who are some guys that that are in that next group. I think it's a good conversation. We'll continue it on the other side. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to an IRS collection or audit, Abraham & Rose has successfully specialized in resolving all types of tax problems for over 30 years. Their extensive experience means that when you're facing an IRS collection or audit, you can rely on their firm. Many law firms come and go, but for 30 years of experience, it's a testament to their success. Their experienced team is ready to evaluate any underlying federal or state income taxes or payroll taxes. All you have to do is visit abrahamandrose.com or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
And he went over and embraced Vladdy, who was on the ice. Sergei Fedorov, man.
No one can say Russian names quite like a Russian. That sounds awesome.
He opened with, I'm not a public speaker, I'm a hockey player, so bear with me. But he really brought down the house last night. And again, long overdue, 91 where it belongs, hanging in the rafters at Little Caesars Arena. Our question, who's next? And of the guys currently playing, do you feel like there are any people who will eventually have their jerseys retired? 248-539-9797. And that's not to turn anybody away who wants to talk hockey.
Yeah.
Because I'm game. I mean, they're first place team right now, playing great. If you were there last night, you want to speak to the festivities, 248-539-9797. Let's get right to the phones.
Yeah.
Let's get to Marcus. You're next up. You're in Northville. You're on 97.1.
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good.
Great game last night. The ceremony also from Fedorov was top-notch. Wings were all class on that. And, God, I feel like that guy could still put on a pair of skates and lace them up. Honestly, I 100% believe it. But I would have to say the next number to be retired is, without a doubt, Pavel Datsyuk. I mean, he's a Hockey Hall of Fame inductee in 2024. He's a two-time Stanley Cup champion. And he played, you know, four All-Star games. He's got two gold medals, which people kind of forget about, with Russia. He's three-time Frank Selke Trophy, a four-time Lady Bing Award winner. Without a doubt, in my opinion, probably one of the top 10 players in Detroit Red Wings history. And without a doubt, we'll have his name retired, I think, in shortly.
Well, he would be the 10th to get his number retired, so that would be fitting. Yeah.
100%, 100%. And then in the future, it's so tough to tell. These players have these lucrative contracts where you think, you know, they'll stay for, you know, 10 to 15 years. And today's NHL is just, it's not like that. I want to believe that it'll be Dylan Larkin someday. I mean, he's the longest running, you know, captain, I think, right now in Wings history, next to, what was it, Yzerman at this point?
Well, yeah, Yzerman would definitely be number one. They gave it to him when he was like a teenager.
Right. So, I mean, I'd have to say Larkin if he stays. I just don't think he's
a Hockey Hall of Famer. Like, the bar is, you got to be a Hockey Hall of Famer. Wow. You know it. You've already referenced it. Like, we got some text for Osgood, who isn't a Hockey Hall of Famer. Separate debate, but that's part of the reason he's not up there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we can love on Dylan Larkin this year all we want, but he's not to the level of those nine guys that are up there.
Nah, he goes out and rattles off a couple Stanley Cups and wins a Conn Smythe. I mean, but that's the bar for the Red Wings.
Right.
You have to be an MVP, Sergei Fedorov. You have to be one of the 100 greatest players in the history of the sport. That's the bar for the Detroit Red Wings. It's a little different for some of the other teams. Like, I know the Pistons retired Vinnie Johnson. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we got a text that says Grant Hill should be retired. It's just teams have different standards.
Yeah, I don't see Grant Hill's jersey being retired.
248-539-9797. You guys mentioned Justin Verlander as a clear yes.
Yeah.
But there's debate about Stafford. What's the difference?
So the difference is Verlander won an MVP. We kind of went through this at the break. And I mean, what did Stafford win while he was here? We know there wasn't any playoff games.
Comeback player of the year, John.
Woo-hoo.
Made a Pro Bowl. Won a Pro Bowl MVP.
And so one Pro Bowl in his time here. And you want to put his number in the rafters? I know what he's done since, but that wasn't as a Lion.
But, okay, the Stafford thing's messier and weirder, but the case would be he's going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer who spent 12 years, the majority of his career, here. And the reason he doesn't have the playoff accolades, we've debunked that it was him. We've proven who was at fault. If the Lions don't retire his number because they didn't do enough for him, I suppose that's a choice, but it wouldn't have been because Stafford wasn't good enough. He's proven that point.
Yes, the majority of the fault lies with the organization. No question about that. But he's not harmless in it either. He had a Hall of Fame receiver, a guy whose number is retired. And he won Pro Bowl, wasn't an MVP, hasn't been, but you know, it should be this year.
And if he is, it won't be in a Lion uniform.
Right. I just don't think that his career as a Lion, it was really good, but it wasn't retire your number good.
So after the first year after he won the Super Bowl, I've been totally fine with this. And I think it's because, okay, he won and, you know, it kind of just seemed a little harmless to a degree. And then he had that year where he was hurt. They didn't do well. And everybody thought it was just going off into the sunset.
Yeah.
And now he's had this revival. If he wins another Super Bowl, I would find it to be extreme. I'm finding it weird right now. But if he were to win a second Super Bowl, I'm fine. He actually adds to his credentials. Obviously, it's not here.
Yeah.
But it's a weird feeling for me.
And it will only get weirder, to your point. If he wins a Super Bowl, wins an MVP, he's already played 5 years in L.A. Let's say he plays into his 40s. Let's say he plays a couple more seasons in L.A. It does blur the lines. And Greg brought up a great point. He says, well, and how much of this is dependent on where the Lions go from here? If Goff wins the Super Bowl, it's going to be Matthew who? What are we doing to...
Right.
Or as Matthew, a ticket texter, put it, one of these very delayed, decades later retirements.
In 20 years, the Lions are having a 4-13 season. They're like, hey, we got to spice things up a little bit. Yes. Let's retire a number.
Sell some tickets.
Now, if the Lions win a Super Bowl, at least half the roster's jerseys will be up there.
Okay, so that's the other part. Okay. Of the current guys, that was our other question, John, of the current guys. It's hard because they're so young. A lot of our teams are just in the infancy stages. They haven't spent a decade here and put together a Hall of Fame resume.
I think the guys that are building the best resumes are Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell.
Yes, all pros.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those two for
multiple
the Lions.
All pros. Yes. Obviously more multiple, you know, Pro Bowls and the numbers. Now, the thing about Amon-Ra St. Brown is he's always going to be compared to Calvin Johnson. But then you look and you compare some of the numbers and you're like,
pretty
right
good
there.
In terms of catches through five seasons. And they're also locked up long term. That's the other part of this is like part of your legacy is you got to be there a long time to cement yourself. If these guys spend a decade and they're locked up to be here just about a decade, win three or four all pros. Yeah, you're shaping up to be a guy that's jersey gets retired.
And Penei Sewell is shaping up to be, you know, 7 or 8 all pros. Like this wasn't even his best year and he was still all pro.
I know. Beyond the Lions. It's too early on Cade, but I think he's starting to get the ball rolling there, right?
Yes, he's got the...
He's made one All-Star game, so I want to be careful here.
The infantile stages of the resume.
Yeah. I don't think there's a current Red Wing. Cider, but it's so early. He's got to start winning some Norris trophies and deep playoffs and Stanley Cups. You can't do that yet.
No, the resume is not like it is with ASB or with Penei.
What about... Any Tigers? If Scuba was to sign a record deal? Let's just not go there. 248-539-9797.
We know it won't be Bregman.
You don't say, John. Guys, Penei Sewell won't just have his number retired. They're going to build a statue of this guy. Great debate. Hutch, is he a future Hall of Famer? Does he take that next step, or is this just who he is? Second team all pro.
Yes, but a lot more needs to be done.
Yeah. And I see we got calls that want to talk about Datsyuk, the environment last night. And yes, someone wants to talk about Stafford, says the number being retired would be a joke. We'll take all of those phone calls in the 8 o'clock hour. We're also going to do a little bit of a current quarterback question. Mm-hmm. Tom has crafted a quarterback switcheroo conversation centered around all the quarterbacks that made the playoffs. Would you rather have Goff or this playoff quarterback? Yeah.
The quarterback swaparoo. We just wanted to make it more personal to you.
Oh, well, thank you, John.
And we also have a coach in town that we're going to get a chance to talk about.
And we do want to talk about it because he has a big decision to make. He's in town today. It's next 97.1.